This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex. I'm your host, Francesca Gentile, but today we're twisting it up a little bit, and the person that would normally be the guest is going to be asking me some questions. Limits and boundaries are sacred. If I'm trying to be a good person or a nice person, and I give up my limits and boundaries in order to get your love, with an underground agreement that says, I'm going to overgive to you, and then you're going to overgive to me right back, that is going to blow up and destroy every relationship.
It seems that that's often why people stay, that their subconscious, unconscious being knows that this is the one they've picked to get this piece with, and that the dance is going to continue until the piece is in place.
To love is the other side of death, because if I love you, I risk losing you. And if I'm truly going to open to loving you, I must face that.
Yeah.
That every day I love you is a day where the loss of you would rip me apart and tear me to shreds. And if I run from that, I will never fully open to my love for you. Welcome to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex. I'm your host, normally, Francesca Gentile, but today we're twisting it up a little bit. And the person that would normally be the guest is going to be asking me some questions. And the person mm-hmming in the background is Gerilyn Gendreau. She's a marriage and family therapist, a yoga lifestyle trainer, and an award-winning co-author and the editor of The Marriage of Sex and Spirit. Welcome, Gerilyn.
It's great to be here, Francesca, to speak to your listeners and have them hear your insights and secrets.
And what's percolating in that beautiful brain of yours? What are you wanting me to share of some of the things that you know about my life and my skill set?
Well, I have watched you over the years with your beloved John and have seen your relationship flower through so many remarkable transitions, and had the pleasure of sharing your 50th birthday with you and he last year, and was really, really inspired and really moved to tears that night at the depth and richness of what the two of you share. And so I'm most curious in having you talk about one of the subjects that we discussed, that how to be a lover like no other, that one they never forget, the glue that holds you two together, is what I think so many people are looking for in relationship. So I want to hear about that, and particularly knowing the transition that you're going through right now, to have you speak to that on a personal level to your listeners.
Thank you, sweetheart. And, you know, what the transition we're talking about is that my mother, my Mama Gentile, recently died. And it's opening up a whole new level of heart and spirit and connection as I let it, as I stay with the process. And this does relate to becoming the lover that, you know, we always remember, that special one. How do we do that? And how do we bring that forth in one another? And I just want to give a little history for people that, you know, my relationships used to be a mess. I mean, I hate to admit it, but it's true, is that they had a certain flavor over time. I was able to see where, you know, I'm a very passionate person. I would fall in love. I would very much, you know, start out adoring someone and being very passionately attracted to them. And then, you know, in a way that I couldn't understand, after, you know, 3, 6 months, 9 months, a year, it would just start to feel like the magic was gone. And I couldn't feel the same spark for them. We started to argue a lot. And, you know, in the old days, in my former life, in this lifetime, it looked like it was their fault. You know, like they're not the person that I fell in love with. They somehow betrayed me or led me astray. And then after a certain amount of suffering, you know, in the relationship, I would begin to justify to myself that I could start looking for someone else. Now, I didn't always do this consciously. So unconsciously, I might start to just have a friendship with other men. unconsciously, at times I did have affairs. And there was a way, you know, the gift of aging, if you make it that long, is that, you know, there's an opportunity to see one's own patterns. And I started mm-hmm. to see, oh, my God, I'm the common denominator in all the relationships that aren't working. And maybe there's something, and this is such a great question to ask ourselves, maybe there's something of which I'm not currently aware, you know, I don't currently know what that is, that if I knew that about myself and could actually shift it or bring consciousness to it in some way or bring healing to it in some way, that if I could bring that into awareness and shift it, the outcome of my relationships would change. The outcome of my sex life would change. That those complaints that we all have, you know, I'm guessing everybody is not, you know, kind of like me. They have complaints. Those complaints that we have of, you know, people don't see us, or they're not passionate enough, or they're not communicated enough, or they're not, you know, there's something that they're not enough. That if I could bring into awareness some part of me, those complaints would shift, and there'd be more ease and grace in the relationship. So I got to that point finally. it took me as long as it took, and that's when something really new started to happen in my ability of living and loving.
And did that happen with John or over time in relationships that you were in as you approached this one that has now carried you for a number of years?
You know, it happened, you know, we're growing together, and it happened, really, it was a preparation for him. So I'm going to touch on something like, how do we know whether to stay or go? And this is something that's very confusing for us. Should I stay? Should I go? There's good parts, and there's not so good parts. There's things that I love or used to love, and there's things that are really painful for me. And one algorithm, one mathematical formula that we could try on is, when I look at this person that I'm in relationship with, is this someone that I want to bring my issues to and feel that I'm capable of growing with? And those are two different things. One is I'm willing to grow, and the other is I'm capable with this person.
Both of those questions are about yourself.
Now, those two are about me.
Yeah.
Right. So I look at this person and I say, is this someone, you know, that I kind of trust, or I feel like I could bring my issues, and we all have issues, to, you know, growth edges to this person? Am I capable of really growing with them? Now, let's say I answer yes. Yay. Now then I get to ask, does it really look like they're willing to grow with me? You know, they're willing to bring their issues to me and grow with me. And there is no partner out there that's not going to have issues. You know, I know we always want to look for the one that's already enlightened and that will save us and bring us into bliss without us having to do any work.
And then it's smooth as silk all the time. It's a hard fantasy to let go of.
Yeah. I have issues. Everybody's going to have issues. So is this person someone that is willing to grow with me? Now, this is where it gets confusing, because sometimes someone's willing and they say, oh, yes, honey, I love you. I want to work on this part of our relationship. I want to work on this part of our relationship, but they're actually not capable. So it's willing and capable. And so sometimes someone is actually capable. But, you know, we've seen them grow and change in other areas of their life. They used to be a mess in finances, and now they've got their financial act together. They used to, you know, maybe not be sure what career they're going to have, and now they've gotten clarity in their life purpose. So they're capable of growing, but maybe they're not willing to grow in relationship or sexuality with us. So we look over to the other person and we say, is this person willing? And are they capable of growing in and healing with me? And if I look over either to myself, I'm neither willing and or not capable of growing with them, and I look over to them and I say they're either not willing and or not capable of growing with me, I would say it's maybe time to start looking at a conscious transition out of this relationship and to say thank you. Thank you for coming to me. Thank you for contributing what you contributed. And one of the things I'm going to practice now with you is setting limits and boundaries in a loving way and transitioning out of this relationship. So this was something that I learned in other relationships prior to John, is I learned my own issues and what I would be bringing from the shadow, from the dark side to relationship. I learned my own strengths and my own weaknesses and what I was going to need to be working on over time. And I learned that limits and boundaries are sacred, that if I'm trying to be a good person or a nice person and I give up my limits and boundaries in order to get your love, like, well, what do you want, Geralyn? Well, what do you want, sweetheart? Well, let me give that to you with an underground agreement that says, I'm going to overgive to you, and then you're going to overgive to me right back. That is going to blow up and destroy every relationship. That I need to be able to say, you know, I think I don't want pizza tonight. You know, if you want pizza and I want Chinese, why don't I get Chinese and you get pizza and we both bring it back home? That there's some, even something as little as that, is that if I start stepping away from my core center to be with you, there's no one inside me to love you. There's no one inside me for you to love. And then boundaries are more, limits change. You know, we get full and we have a limit of eating. We get hungry and we have a limit of being hungry. You know, we stand and we have a limit of standing. Limits change from moment to moment. Boundaries are more pervasive, where maybe I say they're based on values. I have a value of honesty, let's say. And I find out that, you know, you're lying to me or my beloved is lying to me. That's a boundary issue. And to do that beautifully, my boundaries need to be with compassion. Old model of boundaries, tyrannical. You don't get to treat me this way. You don't get to lie to me. That's not okay. That's the boundary expressed tyrannically through the tyrant self. Compassionate boundaries. I understand that you might feel like you need to lie, that you might feel unsafe saying the truth. I understand that. I even understand that I might be a part of that, that there might be a way that I'm not creating safety for you. And out of my love for me, I'm going to need to back up from this relationship if lying as a strategy is what you need to keep doing to keep you safe. I mean, I do understand, but out of my love for me, I'll need to back up. So it's, my boundaries are not against you. They're for me.
Well, there's something so invitational about that, too. Like, you're inviting the person to step into more honesty rather than blaming them. And I think that's what you were pointing out about willing and capable. Is you actually invite that willingness in times like that. So I'm curious, for the listeners who may not have the kind of clinical skills that you have to evaluate that, where do they listen to determine that? Is this
willing
partner,
and capable?
Yeah. Like, how would you coach someone who is in the mire of their relationship dynamic, and this week he seems unwilling, and last week he was willing, but today he's not willing? I mean, you're so very good at showing those distinctions.
Yeah.
I wonder what you would say to someone who,
you know,
needs that teased apart a bit.
Thank you for a great question, and I want to talk about that more after a break and a word from our fabulous sponsors, and I encourage our listeners to support our sponsors because that's what allows us to keep providing these great shows to you. So we'll be back in just a minute.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, Life in an Orgasm-Based Community, a weekly online audio program where orgasmic innovators share the intricacies of their practice on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex. Our guest host today is Geralyn Gendreau, who is a yoga lifestyle trainer, marriage and family therapist, and she's interviewing me, and we're talking about what really makes this us the lover that someone never forgets, and we're talking about it in a way like, wow, we're not in the bedroom yet. And I have to say that some of the most sexy parts, the building of the container that's going to have the bedroom be amazing over time, happens outside the bedroom. It's technique is great, and without a sense of trust and respect and kind of a way that we can surrender to one another outside of the bedroom, the bedroom isn't going to last in its passion and its power over time. So we're really looking right now at how do these skill sets allow us to have passion and connection over time. And we had talked about how do we know whether to stay or to go, and in the moment when we're like, especially you mentioned someone who's confusing, right?
Right.
Someone who, like, at one point they're saying, oh, I am willing, I do want to work with you, and maybe they even do that day or those couple days, and then they flip, you know, and then they're not willing, and then they're saying, oh, you know, lighten up, why do we always have to work on the relationship? You know, I'm so tired of this, why can't we just have fun? And now they're pulling back. They're saying that they're, in a sense, not willing to work. So how do I decide? One of the things to look at is, you know, once again, get a little mathematical about it. If I look at it over time, are they spending more of the time willing to work? And there's sometimes they want to take a break. And maybe that's an opportunity for me to look at, you know, do I sometimes push too hard? Am I a little bit play challenged where I'm not willing to just relax sometimes in the relationship and have fun? So that's something to look at. The other thing is if I do the algorithm and I'm saying, wow, you know, for they're willing to work on it once for every 10 times and I'm really suffering. Another question to ask myself, now we're getting into the heavy stuff, but this is awesome and this has transformed my life. Is this somewhere where I need to be to learn some kind of lesson? And by the way, we don't check into the head. Like one of the training, personal training and growth organizations I've studied with, Landmark Education, often says, get out of your head, it's a bad neighborhood. and the Buddhist tradition, we call it the monkey mind. It's always racing around. It's, you know, it has a tendency to go into fear and criticism and projection. And the mind is meant to be a tool. It's not meant to be the leader. This is one of the ways our culture is off balance. We think the mind is meant to lead. It's not. So the ancients believed that wisdom was in the heart, and the heart has a slower rhythm, a wiser rhythm. And as I even think about it, my voice changes, not because I'm trying to change my voice, but because the heart has a different rhythm.
Yeah.
And I check into my heart, and I say to myself, and my gut, even lower, am I meant to be here? Is there something I'm supposed to learn through this suffering? You know, we learn two ways. Pleasure, what we're drawn to. Suffering, what hurts. And sometimes I've been in relationships that the person really hasn't been all that willing or capable to work with me, and yet something deep in me said, and I need to be here to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that I'm meant to learn in this relationship, and until I learn that, if I were to leave, I would just go back into the suffering again with someone new because I would not have learned the lesson.
It seems that that's often why people stay, that their subconscious, unconscious being knows that this is the one they've picked to get this piece with, and that the dance is going to continue until the piece is in place. Do you think that's...
You know, I do think that's the case. The Hendrixes, you know, they talk about imago therapy. They say we're always drawn to that person that almost like replicates woundings that we had from childhood or our teenage years. And we're drawn to them because we're wanting to get the healing. You know, we're wanting to work it through.
Close the circuit somehow.
Close the circuit. But we're never going to close the circuit until we start asking ourselves these deeper questions. I say, our lives are formed by the questions we ask. Our lives are formed by the questions we ask. If I ask how much money can I make, my life is going to have a certain direction. If I say how much sex can I get, my life is going to have a certain direction. If I say to myself, how can I live as an embodied soul, a soul that chose to have a body to learn from the experiences of a body, how can I live to learn the lessons that I'm meant to learn? How can I live to break the cycle of suffering?
Mm-hmm.
How can I live to deepen my capacity to be the healing that the world needs?
Mm-hmm.
How can I live like that? Now when I start to ask those questions, whoa, my life opens up with a richness and a depth, you know, just a fulfillment that is you know, before I start asking those questions isn't even real. It's the difference between, you know, living a candy bar existence and living an existence of feast.
Hmm.
Living an existence of surface, you know, skimming life, grabbing, you know, from here and from there, and the existence of coming home to one's body with a sense of purpose.
Yeah, you live the feast like hardly anybody I know. You're so deeply embedded in the sensuality of life, love, and nature, and the movements of existence. And I really appreciate that about you. And would love you to talk to your listeners just briefly about what you're going through right now and share with them some of the challenges and brilliant insights that your mother's death and watching John's father, you know, go through Parkinson's, and some of the story that you were telling me this morning about where home is for you. Can you talk to them about that?
You know, I really do want to talk to about that, and I'm going to contextualize it before I do, in that what we're talking about is grievings, transitions, losses, and change. And whether we're 20 or 60, whether we're single or married, life, the embodied soul, I say, the embodied soul chooses to be born to live through learning from life, and that interwoven with the pleasures and sweetnesses of life, the newness, the openings, interwoven with that and meant to be interwoven with that are the losses, the transitions, and the changes.
Mm-hmm.
And if we avoid those, if I say I only want the sweetness but not the sorrow, I only want the highs and not the lows, what I become is an addict.
Mm-hmm.
What I become is an avoider. And that if I can find the courage, and it takes courage, if I can find the courage to really begin to embrace these transitions, these losses, these changes, and to be with those as fully as I want to be with the pleasure, as fully as I want to be with opening to love, something amazing is going to happen. And I would so like to share what this amazing stuff is, because our culture doesn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're blessed with spending time with anyone over time, these changes, losses, and transitions are going to happen. I want to talk about that and close the show with that after we come back from a break and a word from our delicious sponsors.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex with our beautiful host, guest host, Geraldine Gendreau, helping me share and reveal the lineage of Francesca, the teachings of Francesca, the book of Francesca, which I hope that some of you will resonate with and be able to claim into your own book of life, your own book of sacred teachings. And we were just talking about transitions, losses, changes, how important they are for life and for our own relationship with ourselves and with others. And during the break, now I'll tell you a little secret, during the break we talk, is Geraldine mentioned so wisely, isn't this Tantra? Isn't this the embracing of the all? And she's right. Those of you who are listening still with us, is that this is Tantra. Tantra is the embracing of the darkness and the light, the embracing of the embodied existence of the soul. That is what makes the tantric spiritual path unique. And we're right in it. So listening here with us, you're right in some of the deepest mysteries of the tantric path. This working with death and grieving, loss and change, the loss of a job, the loss of a relationship, the death of innocence, the death of a dream, the death of a being, moving, going from being a non-sexual being to a sexual being, going from being a being who is in some way individual, even if you have a beloved, to being a parent, in which the total responsibility of another life is on you. Going from being a parent to being an elder. Seeing one's parents die. Seeing one's body age and die. Mm. All of these things are meant to be embraced. And I will share with you what's opening for me. When my mother died, I started to feel these emotions, strong emotions. And the culture said, deny them, suppress them, reject them. Emotions are dangerous, don't go there. And as I reached out for people and support and community, people pulled back. And when I asked them later, why? I know you love me. Why did you pull back? What they said was, I was afraid of saying the wrong thing. Mm. I was afraid of making it worse. Mm. I was afraid that my own loss or suffering, which is not the death of a parent, wouldn't compare to yours. And I'm afraid, I thought that I wasn't that important to you. That your community of heart did not include me, and that I couldn't contribute to you in the way that you would want to be contributed to. And when I looked at this, I thought, wow, our culture's messed up. You know, we're messed up here. Because the other side of all of that was the shadow side of all those, you know, very sweet statements of, you know, I want to keep you safe, I want to support you in the way you want to be supported, I don't want to intrude. On the shadow side of that is, if I said something and you got angry or sad, that would be bad, because emotions are bad. If I said something about, oh, you must feel so sad about your mother, and you cried, I would have failed you, because I've led you into the land of emotions, which we all know are dangerous and bad. And, you know, if I said something and I came to reach out to you and you said, "I, you're not close to me, you know, how dare you reach out to me in my grieving?" then it would prove that I don't have worth and value, and I couldn't take that. And it's just like, wow, and how different it would be in our relatedness with one another. If I said to you, you know, you're going through something, you're the death of a relationship, the death of a dream, the business failed, whatever, and whatever you're feeling with that, I'm here to hold it. I can hold it for you without taking it on. I can take it in without taking it on. Mm-hmm. Lay it on me. Cry, rage. I'm here. I'm just going to breathe. I'm just going to breathe. I don't need to save you. I don't need to fix you. I don't need to change you. You can have it. You can have your life experience. You can have your emotions. And I'm strong enough to just stand here. The tree being, you know, waved by your wind. The tree being drenched by the water of your tears. And I can take it in to the extent that it's going to blow the leaves away that I don't need to nourish me in the way that I need. And then I can let it go and just be there for you. I mean, how amazing would that be? But we're not trained to do that. So we run away from each other. We start to go into the depths of shattering emotions. To love is to shatter. To love is the other side of death, because if I love you, I risk losing you. And if I'm truly going to open to loving you, I must face that.
Yeah.
That every day I love you is a day where the loss of you would rip me apart and tear me to shreds. Hmm. And if I run from that, I will never fully open to my love for you.
It is the paradox of loving, isn't it? That it always, at some point, will end or transition.
Absolutely. Even if my beloved and I, and, you know, I say that he's my divine beloved and he's my soulmate. You know, even if that's true, someday he'll die or I'll die. Mm-hmm. Chances are really slim here, Geraldine, that we're going to, you know, that at, you know, 95 years old, be holding hands, looking, eye-gazing, you know, into one another's eyes as we lay in bed and take our last breath together.
Yes.
Chances are pretty slim. You know, one of us is going to die before the other one.
Yeah.
you know, and who knows what happens in life. I mean, I adore my beloved, but in adoring him, you know, a while back he said that he was, you know, in kind of his spiritual midlife crisis, wondering what his sole purpose was. And he said that maybe he needed to go into a monastery, or maybe he needed to go to Vietnam and teach English as a second language to, you know, to get more deeply, you know, land in his embodied soul in this lifetime. And I wanted to kill him when he said that, you know, for daring to take his life path away from me. And I shared that with him, of course. I said, you know, part of me wants to kill you right now. And then I said, and the part of me that just loves you and that is totally your friend and adores you says, if that's what you need to do, then you need to do it. Even though it would shatter me, you need to do that. Because if you abandon your soul to love me, we will at that point have a ghost of a relationship.
Yeah, you'd have half a man or less.
Right. Yeah. And that's the paradox in loving, the courage, the absolute, you know, ball-breaking courage that it takes to love. But on the other side of that is all that sex and passion and roar and deliciousness that we just so want to share, not just when we fall in love, not just when we meet someone new, not just when the primal is what's leading us, but over time. And to share that over time means to ongoingly find the courage to open ourselves to the potential of death and loss and to embrace that with our partner as we age, as businesses die, as dreams die, to stay in that, open together.
So beautiful.
Thank you, darling. And, you know, I think we're actually, you know, I there's a part of me that's like close to tears right now. And, you know, I not only want to thank you, I just want to thank, I want to thank my listeners. And I want to say to my listeners that you are part of the community of my heart. And even though I don't know you, or I've never met you, or we've never even talked or by email or phone, if you're listening to this and part of your soul is nourished, part of your soul is open, like, oh, my God, thank God someone's talking like this, then you're part of my heart community. And you are precious to me. Because in knowing you, I'm no longer so alone. And in knowing me, you're no longer so alone. And we know now that we're in a community of embodied soul and spirit and passion together.
Thank you for sharing your heart, Francesca, the way you do. It really awakens the heart in every single person that hears your voice because you resonate it through your whole body.
Thank you, darling, and thank you for being my precious friend, my inspiration, one of my mentors, just a beautiful feminine being, embodied soul in my life. And I'm going to transition out for all of us here, is that you've been listening to Sex Tantra and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex. If you want to listen to read the transcripts, reach Geraldine or I, delve more deeply into this information, you can do that at www.personallifemedia.com. That's www.personallifemedia.com.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.